Okay, let's start with Shviyas Daf Lamites. Shviyas Lamites 39, as we continue here with the fifth parak of Shviyas Parak Bano Shuach. We're on the last line of Lamed Chasim Abeis, and we're talking about what exactly is the halacha back on the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav. We spoke about aluf, and we speak about these other types of items. How are you able to uproot them without it looking like working the land during Shemitah? That was though we had the machlok of Beshamai and Beis Hillel. About Beshamai says you have to use wooden kalim. Beis Hillel says with these bitzalim kitzonim or pushalidis, you have to you're allowed to use metal. And then we have the next line of the Mishnah on Lamed Vav Mabez that everybody agrees that if it's in a rocky area, a pushal tzlos, then you could uproot it in a regular way because nobody thinks that you're going to be working the land in the rocky area. But just one, I wanted to just read a couple of lines of the Shulchan Aruch relating to tzedakah, as we spoke about yesterday. At the end of the shiur, we spoke about the Beis Halevi, that there might be a lishma by tzedakah on the one hand, but on the other hand, lishma tzedakah is the most flexible in that even if I have no idea what I'm doing, forget lishma, even misasik, we might call it. You're not even involved in the act itself. It falls out of my pocket. Shichacha. And even if I have a low lishma element, lamaiso, but the guy, you know, got the tzedakah. So therefore, right, the ultimate in result-oriented mitzvos. But just to note, even before the Shulchan Aruch, but we do note the Rambam. Even though there might not be lishma, and there might not be even result-oriented, but the Rambam comes up with, as we know, the milus letzaka. The Rambam back in Matnas Aniyim. Right, we spoke a lot about in Matnas Aniyim back in Peah, but the Rambam in Hilchas Matnas Aniyim in Perek Yud, maybe I'll just read the Rambam. Much of the Shulchan Aruch's Mamari Chazal about tzedakah is from the Rambam, which is based on Chazal. But there in Perek Yud what a beautiful perek. Chayav and Arnali Zar b'mitzvah tzedakah. Yes, I shouldn't say that every perek of the Rambam is beautiful, but this is agadic halachic. Chayav and Arnali Zar b'mitzvah tzedakah. Yes, or mikol mitzvah sasei. Shatztaka simin litzadike zera avram avinu. Tztaka, the Rambam is talking about financial, but it also can mean in time, in any area of giving. That's a simin of tzadike zera avraham avinu. Shenamar ki yadativ l'manashay yitzave. Remember, where does the Rambam get this from? Remember, like a Mara and Yuvamis. Right, the three simonim of every Jew, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Vegomli, Chasadim, Chaver, the Rashi Tevis. So the Rambam's Lashon, he takes that, is Simin Litzadike Zera Avram Avinu. Then Kisei Yisrael Miskonein V'das HaEmes Omedes, the Kisei of Yisrael, usually it's the Kisei of Hashem, Kisei Yisrael will only be completed with Tzedakah. V'ein Yisrael Negalen Ela B'schus HaTzedakah Shnemer Tzion B'mishpat Tipadeh V'shaveha B'tzedakah. Olam ein adima ani menat staka, a person would never get poor. Call me shehu achzari. Ve'en amarachim yesh lachush li yichuso. Sheino achzarius mitsuya ela begoyim shenemar achzari himevali yiruchamu. So it's a simon of a Jew to be able to be compassionate and give for the others and share. Vechulu, and the Rambam continues with other halachas. Ben the Rambam has in Perek Zayin. Shmona malos yesh pestaka zula malamizu. The eight milus, the eight levels of tzedakah. The greatest level of tzedakah is when you give somebody a job and you support them without their even being in need. Because that's the greatest. Nobody wants to be given something, right? That's embarrassing. That's the whole message of Shemitah. As we mentioned, Shemitah, you're not giving anybody anything. It's hefker, so they can come and take. Right, there's no feeling of being given. That's part of the message of you're not the balabas. Mala gadol shein lamala mimeno ze amachzik bidei Yisrael shemach. V'nosein lo matana ohava. You give strength to a Yisrael that became poor. You give him a gift or a loan, o osei mo shutfis, or you give him partnership, o mamsi lo malacha, you give him a job. All these cases where you're not giving him something. You're partnering. Kedei lachaz, meaning it's not staka. Kedei lachazik es yato achi listarach lebriyas v'lo yishal. V'chazal zen amar v'chazakta bo, strengthen him. The next level down is anonymous both directions. Anonymous both directions, which is a tzedakah box and shul. That's anonymous both directions. The ani is not going to, if it's going to an ani, right? The ani is not going to know, and the person who's giving it doesn't know. So it's not embarrassing on either side. Pachad bizeh anosi tzedakah laniyim, v'lo yada lamina, v'lo yada ani, mimi lakach, sherezu mitzvah lishma. Lishma, as we spoke about earlier. Kigon Lishkas Chashayim, like the place that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, that you take your stuff and you throw it into the room, so you don't know who you're giving it to, and then people who need go and take. Shaisa Bemikdash Shayos Hadikim Nostin Bachashoy, Vaniyah Bede Tovim Mispartisimana Bachashoy. The Chulu. And then the Rambam says the next level is Sheyada HaNosein. The Nosein knows, but the Makabal doesn't know. Gogdole chachamim, shayu holchim beseiser, umashlichan amos, bepischi aniyim. I'm sorry, in Ksubis, Mar Ukva, used to hang the tztaka on the doorknob, right, and then leave. And then one time the ani wanted to know who it was, to say thank you. And the Mar Ukva went, and as he was leaving it, the door opened, and he started running away, and happened to go with his wife that day. And they're running, this way and that way, and the ani's chasing after them, until finally they come to a dead end. You have to make it exciting, especially for the Rosner bedtime stories, right? So that you say they're dead end, they jump into a bakery. The only place to hide is an oven. They jump into the oven and they're hiding in the oven. In the oven that was already turned off and it's still boiling hot. And all of a sudden, Marukva's feet start burning and his wife says, here, stand on my feet. So Marukva stands on his wife's feet. And the story ends, the ani goes away, and they're saved from having to reveal themselves. But Marukva has chalishas hadas, the Gemara says. He was depressed. Why was my wife's feet not burning, and my feet were burning? I only had half a nace. She had a whole nace. So she says, because I give the ani food. You give money. So what are they going to do with money? They still have to go and buy whatever they need to buy. But I give food. I give food. So it's right. It's exactly what they need. So that's why that stock is even on a higher level. But that's what the Rambam is referring to here. That they used to leave them on the pischei aniyim. And then the Rambam continues with the lower level, where both know, give him before he asks, give him after he asks, all the levels, which obviously reflect an idea of a lishma, even by tzedakah. But again, there's much to talk about, and Yoredea, Reish Bem Zayin, Reish Bem Ches, and the like. Okay, let's continue now where we are up to. So the last line, we're up to Lamed Ches Mabeis, the last line. V'chein Bitzalim Hakitzonim. These Bitzalim Kitzonim, they also have these halachas about limitations, how you're supposed to grow them. What is kitzonim? Katinoi. Katinoi is from the word, as the Mara Fulda says, it's the unculus for the word kayetz, which means summer. Summer onions. Summer onions. Okay? Good. Mod v'puash al tzilos. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree by planting something or uprooting growths that grow in a rocky area. That's putra. Putra means rocky area. So, Batani Allah, and then relating to that halacha, the Brisa says, the Tosefta says, Makam Shnagu Lachrosh Lachrosh Lenachish Yinachish. In a place where you normally plow, you can plow. Weed, you can weed. What does that mean? Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, in this rocky area, if the only way to uproot it is like through a plowing process or an uprooting process, that's also okay. Because you're not plowing, you're just uprooting, you're ripping it out, so you're not doing any avodas hakarka, and it doesn't look like it. Because even though it's a act that usually accompanies avodas hakarka, but this is in the rocky area, and therefore there's no problem. That's how the Rav Chaim Kanievsky understands this line. Malkam shenagu la'karas hapua, derech harisha yachrosh, v'im derech nichas yanachesh, v'lo cheshinan la'avodas ha'aretz. And don't worry about what it looks like. Okay. So now we get to the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, back on Lamed Vav Mabez, after Shemitah, when are you allowed to buy the luf, these types of onions, when are you allowed to buy it after Shemitah? Even, the Ras Ilio said, even from a chashud that has Shemitah produce, when can you buy it and assume that it's not luf anymore, Shemitah luf? When are you allowed to do that? So we had a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says right away. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tzom Gedalia, right after Shemitah, you're allowed to buy this luf, and don't worry. And the Chachamim said, Mishe Yarbe HaChadosh, right, where you could assume that most of the growth is from the new. We spoke then about rove, the two types of rove, a little bit on the Mishnah, that was the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you are allowed immediately to buy the luf? And not worry that it has Shemitah sanctity, and the Mefarshim here say, because this seems to be in contrast to a Daf Bed Hashem, a Mishnah that we'll have in 11 days from now, right on Daf Nun Amin Aleph, look at Nun Amin Aleph for a moment, a Mishnah in the 6th Perek. The Mishnah says, Me'emasayim Mutar Adam Likach Yarek B'motzai Shvias. When are you allowed to buy things after Shemitah and assume it's not Shemitah produce? It's Beferish. And what does the Mishnah say? Mishayaseh Chayotzebo. when you could assume that it was produced, there are things like it, given the time, the amount of time that it needs to grow and to be harvested, meaning you have to wait. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, luf is different than everything else, because there's no machlokas there. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue over there. So that's the question. The question is, why is luf different? Why everything else, you have to wait a certain amount of time after Shemitah to assume that it's not Shemitah produce anymore. While here, by luf, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can buy it right away. So the Gemara says, gazru al haluf, velo gazru al hayarek. What does that mean? They were gozer, as we learned in our Mishnah, there are limitations how to uproot luf. How to uproot, you have to use this type of kli, and it's a big tircha. It's a big tircha not to use the regular kalim. Right? In general, anything you have to do using any type of tool, especially in gardening. But if you have to use the wrong tool, it's much harder. If you don't have the right tool, even if you have the wrong screwdriver, right, you can't, any little thing, you gotta have the right tool, it makes all the difference. So here the Chachamim said, you gotta use the wrong tool. You gotta use the wrong tool for the luf. So once they made that gzera, nobody would want to do the tircha of uprooting the luf in the, so therefore you can assume that anything they got, they uprooted just now, in the regular way, and therefore, it's, right, it goes by Lakita, and it doesn't have, Kedusha Shvius. Right, the luf, they're not allowed to, so they just wouldn't harvest it during Shemitah, so to have, Shemitah luf, right after Shemitah, we don't have to worry. But by other vegetables, there was no such exera, so maybe they harvested it regular during Shemitah, that's why you have to wait after Shemitah. That's why you have to wait after Shemitah, in order to be able to buy it and assume, otherwise, if you have luf right afterwards, one more line, maybe you could assume it's from the sixth year, because they must have done it normally. They wouldn't harvest Shemitah stuff normally in public, because harvesting is a public act. They didn't want anybody to think of them as chashudim. So therefore, if you have luf right afterwards, that's why Reb Yehuda says you could buy it immediately. So the Gemara says, Umeyata afilu b'shvius yei mutter. If you're saying that, oh, nobody's going to want to do that, to use the unusual kalim, and therefore, even during Shemitah, you should be able to buy luf. And you can assume, you know, they did it regular, because it must have been sixth year produce. So why do you even, why only after Shemitah? So the Gemara says, no, what we're talking about here is bitamun anan kaimin. Bitamun. Tamun literally means hidden, but it means, luf that was preserved, buried in the ground that preserved. Meaning it's for a long time. Nobody is going to says the let's just read the Amara folder. Hadamrinan. When the Mishnah says you have to uproot it in an unusual way, we assume that you're not gonna do the tircha in order to be able to then preserve it and sell it in a long time. To do the tircha and make money today, people will do that. If they can make a profit today, people will go out of their way and, you know, they have the taiva for money, they can do it. They're not going to go out of their way and do this extra tircha to then preserve it and then sell it in the future. So that's why right after Shemitah, you're allowed to get it because this is from preserved, therefore you can assume it's from sixth year. But during Shemitah, so maybe they did the unusual type of harvesting so they can make money today. Because that they would do. Shalo yelech v'yavi mina asur v'yomer mina tam aveti. Because during Shemitah, people will do it in an asur way, and they'll say, oh, it's from beforehand. It's from earlier sixth year produce. So that we are nervous about. People might sell it that day. They can sell it that day. But for Shemitah, for post-Shemitah, it is okay. Right? And the Samachronim say, we don't think that even like the last day of Shemitah, they'll do it in order to sell the next day. That we don't have to be worried about that that much. Period. But what do you see? Just the a hashkafic message. People will go above and beyond in order to make a buck right now. You know, even if it's hard for them and tircha, because if people have a taiva for money, what does it say in Koheles? Oiv kesef ol yisba kesef. Somebody loves kesef, then they'll never be satiated. And even if it means doing tircha, right? People go above and beyond to the Gemara has a lashon that people endanger themselves. They go up on trees in order to make a living. But this is talking about beyond that. Be people who are Bale Avera here, you know, if they can make it money right now, so then they will do it. But if it's for long term, they're not going to be in Matriach. Right? Oiv kesef ol yisba kesef. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes that pasuk in Koheles in the first Mishnah, on the first parak of Pirkei Avos. Right? On the Mishnah, Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos is a classic. classic. He doesn't need my haskama. But it's a classic where it says on the Mishnah in the first parak that Vavishose bitsame es divrehem. Right, Vavishose bitsame es divrehem. Well, let's start from the previous Yossi ben Yoezer Omer. Yi beischa beisvad lachachamim. Your house should be a beisvad for Rabbanan. Vavim misavik bafa raglehem. And you should sit in their dust. Every and then the last line, Vavishose bitsame es divrehem. And drink thirstily their words. So many of the Bali Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos always talk about the connection between all the phrases in Pirkei Avos. So I just saw Rav Asher Weiss's commentary on Pirkei Avos, which came out recently, which I was zochet to get a copy. So he says, you know, sometimes people have a big rabbis in their house and aniyim in their house, and they have tremendous, you know, but they feel good about themselves. I'm the balabas, and look what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of mitzvahs in my house. I'm having these get-togethers in my house. Even if you have the biggest Rosh Hashiva in your house and everybody, put them at the head of the table. Right, don't think that I'm still the balabas and I'm having them. Right, ye basically svalach chachamim, favim misavik b'afar raglayim. Still be at their dirt. Don't think of yourself as so amazing in that you're having. It's wonderful to have all of these mitzvahs, you know, get-togethers in your house. But then the last line, favishosu b'tzameis devarim, and drink thirstily their words. Right, and that's where Rabbeinu Yonah says, because you could have the greatest Rosh Hashiva in the world giving a shir, but if you're not thirsty for it, you're full. You could have the greatest piece of a steak, but what if you already have three pieces? Right? If you're full, you're full. You always have to be thirsty, not for food. But Vavishosa Bitsamayas Devrayam. And that's what he says. Kamosha Namar, Nefesh Sveya Tavas Nofes, right? This is Mishlite. The full soul hates even honeycombs, the sweetest. Venefesh Reva Komar Matok. That's Shlomo HaMelech and Mishlei. And every hungry soul, even the bitter things, are going to be sweet. Mishu saveh b'divrei Torah, ve'ein chafetzo bahem, afilu omrim lo kama margolius b'Torah, tavus osam nafsho. V'harav lahem, u'misaveh l'shamam, afilu omrim lo dover b'lotam, yimtak b'fiyu v'yismach boshi yodeshu emes achesh rabo omr. I thought he quoted, one of these b'shtayis, he quotes, right, oif kesef lo yispap, we quote that here somewhere. I'm not going to look for it right now. Maybe in the previous page. Okay. Anyway, so that's what we have desire for. So if somebody has desire a lot for money, they'll do anything to get money right now. But they won't have the long term because taiva doesn't work that way. Can't delay. Okay. Weiter. Tani Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ma'aseh Shehayinu Be'ein Kushin V'achalnu Luf Al Pi Rabbi Tarfon Motzei Chag Shel Motzei Shvi'is. Rabbi Yehuda says, "I'll bring you a raya that I'm right." Right. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda. But they, so he says, there was a story in Kushim. We ate luf for Bitarfin Paskin. We could eat luf in Motsoi Sukkis, right after Shemitah. Motsoi Sukkis is only a couple of weeks after Shemitah. So what do you see from there means, well, I'm right. You could buy luf right away. You could buy luf right away, after Shemitah, right after Sukkis isn't so long, right? It's a month after. So therefore you see that I'm right, says Rabbi Yehuda from that story. Amar lo, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you got the story wrong. Imcha hayisi, I was there. I'm sorry, you were with us. V'lohaya elamotsoi ha-Pesach. It was 6 months later. It wasn't after Sukkot, it was after Pesach. You don't remember. Look at the pictures. Right? Look at the season. Right? So that's what he says. You got the story wrong. Pesach, Sukkot, right? You would have known from the season. Interesting, in the Torah, we know, with Pesach and Sukkot, make one comment. In the Torah, we know that the Chagim are identified by seasons. By the weather, right? That's what the Torah tells us. And the Mefarshim wonder why is that, right? What other, you know, you should have a Chag HaAsif, Chag HaKatzir, Chag HaAviv. Why are they called that? What do the seasons have to do with the Yontif? Is that just telling us, okay, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you have to make sure it's in this season, right? You can't have Pesach in the middle of the summer, so you have to make sure with Ibur Hashanah, you have to add on every so often. But the Mefarshim, besides that, talk about the message of the seasons, the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem, the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem in Perek Memvav, and it's expanded upon, if you want to look in the Or Gedalia on Moadim. Because I assure discusses this Maharal. He says, all the Moadim, Kol HaMoadim, Mekasher HaTorah, B'mikrim, B'seder HaTeva. It's all connected. Pesach, Tola, HaTorah, B'chodesh Aviv, Shuas, Chakatzir, Sukkis, Chag HaAsif. And he says, why? It's to reflect what's going on in the spiritual worlds. The physical worlds reflect the spiritual worlds. Ki akol hashpash on uroim bazeha olam. Everything that we see in this world, like the springtime, things sprouting up. Hashpa hazu yoredes milamala ad lamata derakol olamos. Achenis labish gam beseder ateva. Umehashpa beseder ateva yecholon ar ladas ki ish hashpa ruchani me'ein oso hashpa shenira ba'olam ateva. Things are growing in the world. There's tremendous power of growth in the air in the spiritual world as well. Springtime, Pesach, they're sprouting out. So too, there's power of sprouting out. Power of sprouting out. And he says, it's like the Gemara says in Shabbos, says, if you give, the Gemara says, if you ever give a child a candy, and the parents aren't around, the child's going to go home, make sure you like put a note, put a note on the child's forehead, the Gemara says, that you, they know that the child's going to come home with a candy, who gave it to him, where it's from, right? Let him know. Right, or it's going to be finished by the time they get home. The parents should know to brush their teeth that night. Right, so no. Hanos in pas latino tzorach lo dia li'imo. Right, if you give a pas for it to a child, let the mother know. Let the mother know. So that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving a present to this world. Right, he says, let the people know. So that's what the chagim are about. V'davar zeh ranu anu roim. Regarding the chagim, kiyim chodesh nisan nikra b'torah chodesh aviv, chodesh ish bo ruach shel techia v'havaya chadasha. Right, nisan is all about growth and techias amesim and things coming out of the ground. V'zeh simin shaz yoredes hashpa shel techia, and it's reflected. It's reflected in this world. That's why hischachus v'yakam melach chodesh al Yosef v'chulu, and that's every season. Number one, the other message of Yaakov Kamenetsky. In Emes LeYaakov on Parshas Mishpatim, which is the first time the Chagim come up. It's not really one of the Parshas HaMoedim, which is in Emor and Pinchas and Re'eh, but it's mentioned right one of the days of the Yontif. We lay in Mishpatim also. V'Chag HaKatzer Bikurei Ma'asecha, right at the end of Mishpatim. So he says there two messages. He says number one. Maybe this relates to what I've spoken about often, and that is Judaism does not reject the physical, like the other nations. They say there's Gashmias and there's Ruchnias, and never the twain shall meet. The Judaism says, no, you have to be Mekadish Lechomer. We have to uplift the physical. So maybe that's the emphasis. We have these holidays. The holidays are the most spiritual days of the year, but the Torah emphasizes the physical, to emphasize that our job is to uplift the Asif, and uplift the Aviv. Right? That's number one. Through tefillah. And then he says, number two, he says, as we know from Shema, Hashem talks to us through nature. Right? Im Shema tishmo mitzvosai, and then I'll give you the rain, and I'll give you the tefillah. So maybe that's another message. Look around and see if the tefillah and the seasons are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then you'll get a message about what your spiritual state is. Right? If everything's amazing, and again, maybe this is, we believe, rain. Right, we believe in Shema. Im Shema Tishmu. Right, so Hashem talks to us through nature, and that's the third idea. So you have the Maharal, and then two ideas here in the Emes LeYaakov. Chav Gimel Tezayin in Mishpatim. Okay, we continue. Now we get into Lifnei Iver Mishnayos. Here we go. Elu Kalim. Remember, Lifnei Iver, we're not allowed to facilitate or help anybody do anything wrong. And if we think anybody's going to do something wrong, we can't help them out, as we will get to different details. Elu Kalim She'ena Uman Rashar L'mochrim B'Shvias. The following Kalim are not allowed to be sold to an Uman is not allowed to sell. Who to sell to who? As we'll see, whether it means, as the Marafold already says here, Lamishu chashit al hashvius. To somebody who's chashit, somebody who you're not sure, he might work the land during Shemitah. So you can't sell him these kalim that are used to work the land illegally during Shemitah. To an eno chashit, you could assume that he's buying it for after Shemitah. He's just trying to get a good deal now. But we're talking about a chashid. You're not allowed to sell these kalim. So elu kalim she'enu man yarav shel lamachem b'shvias. Machresha. A plow. Can't sell a plow to somebody who's chashid during Shemitah. V'kol kelei on anything related to the plow. Ha'ol, the yoke that goes on the animal that connects it to the plow. V'hamizre. What's a mizre? From the word zore, winnowing. It's one of the Lamentes Malachas. Winnowing, mizre. What's wrong with a mizre? Mizre is like a winnowing fork. Like one of those big pitchforks that you pick up the grain with. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? So the Tosfos Yontif notes here. Tosfos Yontif notes here that we know the Torah tells us that you can't harvest during Shemitah. And we know that can't be true because you're allowed to eat during Shemitah and you have to harvest it in order to get the produce. So we know the Medrash tells us, Rashi quotes this in Bahar, you're not allowed to harvest in the normal way. That's what it means. Shelo tiksor kederech hakotzrim. What does normal mean? Machlokes Rishonim. The Rambam says quantity. The Rambam says, you know what normal means? A lot. You could do little by little for your family. That's the Rambam. Quantity, the Rambam in Perek Dalid Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis. The Rambam says, Kagon, in Katsar Kederach HaKotzer Loka, if you're kotzer like the, harvest like the, regular harvesters, you locust. What does that mean? Kagon Shekatzar Kalasada, Vehemid Kri, Vidosh Babakar Ushekatzar Lavodis Aretz. Ela Kotzer Ma'at Ma'at, Vachovit Vachel. That's the Rambam. Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. What does it mean? Unusual? Do it in small amounts. So the Tosfos Yontif says, a mizre is only used for large amounts. Right? There are smaller types of forks to use for small. So the fact that you get a mizre, that means large amount, so that's usher for the Rambam. That's usher for the Rambam. That's why mizre is a problem. The Rash Mishan says, no, it doesn't mean amount. It goes by a different type of kli. Different, you have to use a different type of kli, even a large amount. Each one of them would say, the Rambam says you could use a regular kli, but a small amount. The Rosh says you could use a unusual kli, even a large amount. So that's the Mizra. They are deker and a hoe. And a hoe is also used for making holes in the ground. So you can't sell somebody who's chashed all these things, because it's lifnei iver, because you're worried that they're going to use it for Shemitah. Aval, mocherhu magal yad, magal katsir, but you're allowed to sell these personal, smaller cutting instruments. These are used just to cut single stalks, and as the Maharal Folder says, maybe the guy's taking it to cut from Hefker, right? Who says it's going to be his own property, and it's a smaller amount. Any kli that is miyuchad for an avodah that's usher during Shemitah, usher. Le'isser, ulehetter, mutter. But if it's sold, if it can be used for something that's usher and something that's mutter, then that's alif ne'iver. Right, if they could use it, if there's a good chance that they're going to use it for some mutter activity, that is okay. Hayotzer, if you have a potter who is selling kalim, mocher chamish kadei shemen v'chamish esrei kadei ayin, you could sell five jugs to use for oil, where somebody's going to harvest their olives, and 15 for wine, shukin darkol havi min hefker, because that quantity, people could get even from Hefker when they go into somebody else's field. That's not reflective that they're going to harvest their whole field. Imhevi yosim ikan mutter. And what if the guy says, I brought even more than that amount of wine and oil at home, and I need it. So then mutter, because again, if that's what he says, and that's what is true, then you could assume that he is still using it just for what he collected and not for an iser purpose. Umocher la'akum ba'aretz uli yisrael b'chutz la'aretz. You're allowed to sell goyim these kalim. There's no Isser of Goyim working the land. Or for a Jew in Chutz La'aretz. You don't have to assume that he's going to bring it to Eretz Yisrael. You don't assume that people are going to buy things in Chutz La'aretz and bring it because they think it's cheaper in Chutz La'aretz than it is in Eretz Yisrael. Right? You don't have to worry about that, even if we see that today. Beishamai Omrim, lo yimkar lo parach horeshes b'shviyas. Beishamai says, if you have a cow that plows, you can't sell buddy a plowing cow during Shemitah. Beisil says, no, maybe he bought it to shecht. Maybe he bought it for to eat. So because you have that possibility, it's not lifne'iver. It's not lifne'iver. So what would Beis Shammai say back? Most cows are not. You go by rove. And you could sell somebody fruit, even b'shas hazera, meaning sometimes people replant fruit in order to... Right, you have an apple, you're going to plant the apple seeds in order to make a tree. So, are you allowed to sell them the fruit? No. The answer is no, because there's a good chance they'll eat it. They'll eat the fruit. They won't replant it. So you're allowed to sell them the fruit, even at a time where people would be seeding. Umashelo sa'aso, and you could lend him measuring cups. Avavishu yodea sheish lagoren, or measuring tool, Caleb, even though you know that he has a threshing floor, and he might use it. But all of these are mutter, because you assume there are plenty of mutter activities. Upore lomos, you could even give him change. Avavishu yodea sheish lapol, and even though you know he has workers, and maybe he's going to pay workers for doing usher things, but he also might pay workers for doing mutter things. And all of these, Beis Shammai assumes they're a higher percentage possibility, and therefore even he would say it's mutter. Vekulon beferish asurin. In all these cases, if they say, I'm using it for this usur activity, then it's usur. Then you can't, because that is lifnei iver. There's so much to talk about lifnei iver, but we don't have time right now. We just have to continue. Elu kelim v'chulu, am Reb Yonah, keni mas nisan, elu kelim she'inu uman rasha elamachron b'shvias, l'chashud al ha'shvias. All of these are talking about to a chashud, as we said. Somebody who suspect that they might use it in an usur way. Staman mahu, what if staman? What if you don't know if he's a chashid or not? You have a stranger. You don't know if he's a chashid. Maybe he's buying it for after Shemitah, maybe not. So the Gemara says, Min ma datani l'isur lehater mutter. Well, later on in the Mishnah says, even to a chashid, if there's a question about what he's going to use it for, so then it's mutter. So you see, as long as there's a possibility that it's going to be used lehater, it's mutter. So just like Kalim, so two people, hada amra staman mutter. So two people, you can use it for period. Okay, we'll stop there again. Lifnei Iver is there's so much to talk about. Maybe we'll start with that a little bit tomorrow with Lifnei Iver. Maybe one point about Zorah, right? Winnowing is a cool malacha because you might not think so, but it doesn't come up that often, right? Almost every malacha comes up. There's like five that never come up, right? Almost every malacha could come up in your house. Cleaning and shearing, right? Shearing, cutting your fingernails and biting your nails. Almost every malacha. There's like five or six that hardly ever come up. I mean, osa shtei batei nirin is not one of those that come up too often, but almost everyone. So what about zorah? So zorah doesn't really come up. Winnowing, throwing straw in the air and then the wind coming and doing like a borer type of act. But the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Samach says that zorah teaches us something important. Because Zorah, the Gemara talks about using the talk about Eish. Right? Daf Yomi started Baba Kama, so Eish uses the wind. Koach Acher Meurav Bo, and one is still Chayev. So the Gemara there says Ki Amrinan Zorah Veruch Mesayaso regarding Shabbos. What do I do by Zorah? I have straw and rocks and pebbles and kernels on the ground. I throw it in the air. The wind comes and blows away the lighter stuff, and then the heavier stuff goes to the ground. What did I do? I didn't separate. All I did was throw stuff in the air. The wind separated, and I'm chayef for Zorah. That's grumma. Isn't that like indirect? You're chayef, says the Gemara. Because that's the malacha of Zorah. Malachas machsheves asra Torah. Meaning, malachas machsheves as a chumrah. This is very unusual. Usually malachas machsheves is a kula for Shabbos. Shabbos has a higher standard. And even if it's an act in other contexts, but by Shabbos, it's Shinui, Grama, many different halachas that flow. But by Zorah, inherently it's a Grama type of act, but you're still chayev, because that's Malachas Machsheves. Aval, Hacha, by Nezek, Grama ba'almahu, for Grama b'nizak and Pater. In a case where somebody lit a fire that it wasn't, right, it was not with a ruach betsuya, would not have spread, where it talks about the case, but there are cases of Nezek that would be Putter by Shabbos, you'd be chayiv, and Zorah proves it, because Zorah uses the wind and is chayiv, even though in the cases of Nezek, it would be called grama. Okay, that's Baba Kama Daf Samach, but we will stop here.